Hey y'all, this is Kobe R. Rice, and I'm back again with another creative weekly update. This is episode number 45 of the epic fantastical journey of a Black female sci-fi writer. And today's episode is actually going to be relatively short. I always say that, but I genuinely think that today is going to be short because this week wasn't really that eventful. That's exactly why I entitled this episode Facing and Faking the Funk, because guys, I kind of feel like I've dropped a little bit into a funk over the past week, 2 weeks. There's just been something about October that has been really stress relieving for me in a lot of ways, but also not particularly inspiring with regard to the fire that is under my butt. Whereas I had like a roaring fire under my butt for the first 6 to 7 weeks of the semester. Weeks 8, 9, and especially this week 10, which I'll update you guys on next week, have been a lot calmer, a lot more relaxed. And as a result, I felt a lot better. And I've been, you know, doing great and taking care of myself. At the same time, I have felt very unproductive. And I don't really know what to do with that. I hate feeling unproductive. I hate feeling as though I'm not on all cylinders. But at the same time, you and I and everyone needs that time for downtime to like regenerate brain cells, to take a step back from your projects or what have you. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But first, I'm going to go through a very quick update of what's been going on this week. And of course, I want to invite you guys to a bunch of amazing giveaways and swag grabs and all kinds of stuff. So if you've been listening to my podcast, but also simultaneously living under a rock, you might not know that I have some amazing giveaways happening both at the New Adult Noir blog and at my author blog at ColbyRRice.com. So anything, by the way, that you will find at New Adult Noir is definitely going to show up on ColbyRRice.com. So you can go to either website and get your life and get. All right, guys, had a little hiccup there because I accidentally hit the end record button and cut myself off in the middle of my own podcast. So now I'm back. And as I was saying, you can find a lot of free swags and giveaways at ColbyRRice.com or NewAdultNoir.com. And for those of you, again, who are interested in reading sci-fi fantasy horror or sci-fi fantasy horror romance, but more in the darker, grittier vein, these giveaways are definitely for you. And actually, this might be all of you. If you are a fan of any of my work or my books, my brands, my franchises, you pretty much can see that I write pretty dark in a pretty dark vein, and I'm pretty gritty with it. So I'm offering even more books and more swag in the same vein of the stuff that I write. But basically, every single month, as you guys know, we offer a brand new crop of dark and gritty sci-fi fantasy and horror, as well as sci-fi fantasy horror romance. And basically, we offer a lot of selections that are book selections, particularly indie book selections. But we are soon, very soon, going to be spreading our wings and expanding our horizons into indie games and especially indie films that are, again, in the SFFH genres, dark and gritty. So stay tuned for that. But this month, we have our October dark and gritties up and ready for you guys. We have about 9 fresh books, again, all in the genres of sci-fi, fantasy, and horror. So go and check those out. Download your free books and get your free reads and get your life. We also have our series discovery promo for October up and running. We're offering you 10 amazing new series and series starters in all different subgenres in the sci-fi, fantasy, and horror genre. So check those series out as well. Those are not free, the same way that the dark and gritties for October are free, but they are still amazing. And the series starters and series discovery promo are for those of you who don't just want to dive into one particular book, but who are really excited about getting into an entirely different world for a very long time through a series. So check those out. You can always find that at newadultnoir.com. That is newadultnoir.com. And if you're a fan of me, Colby, you can also find these same offers at colbyrrice.com. That's colbyrrice.com. We also have the incredible Fright Fest giveaway going on the entire month of October. So you guys need to get on top of that and get your entry so you can enter for a chance to win an Amazon Echo Dot. And yes, these prizes are real. There's always a winner. We always give out not only a main prize, but also a first prize, as well as free entry prizes for anybody who joins the giveaway. So everybody is a winner, and that's exactly the reason why you should join and just put your name in the hat. You never know when you're going to win something really awesome and cool, and you're going to be a winner regardless. So you can also find the Fright Fest giveaway that is offering that Amazon Echo Dot at newadultnoir.com. So... Again, you know, this is me sort of coming out of my funk, so don't judge me too harshly as I'm trying to like power my way through this podcast. As much as I love podcasting, you know, for whatever reason, again, the energy is kind of low this week. Another thing I wanted to update you guys on, not going on currently, but coming up very soon, is the 25 Days of Box Sets holiday giveaway that will be running at newadultnoir.com from December 1st. All the way up until December 31st. So for each day of December, we will have 25 different genre-specific box sets available for you to download 100, 1,000, 1 million percent free. And we will also be offering you a chance to win, to enter your name and win one of 25 amazing prizes, which will range from Amazon Kindle Fire tablets to subscriptions to Amazon Prime, gift cards for, you know, your favorite bookstores and book outlets, also free subscriptions to Kindle Unlimited, where you can get unlimited audiobooks and unlimited ebooks. You'll be getting, like, you know, you'll have the chance to get free swag and all kinds of amazing stuff. So definitely go and check it out. You know, stay tuned and really get an early chance to get your entries in as soon as you can. And I'll have that giveaway link for you guys to start, you know, entering as soon as humanly possible. So pay attention to that. For all of you hardcore readers out there who are just dying to get your hands on some not only amazing reads, but amazing prizes for this holiday season, this giveaway is definitely for you. Okay, those are my announcements. That was like really long. I'll try to make it shorter in the future. But this week, generally, only a few things of import actually happened. One big thing is that I have hosted my first pre-show talk, like ever in my entire life, for the Addams Family musical this past Sunday. And it went really, really well. People were really excited about the information that I had, the background, the historical context, you know, the way in which I tied the Addams Family franchise into certain milestones of our history, the way I likened them to the real American family, etc. And it just was a really great feeling to have the audience very excited to engage with the material and then also give me feedback, or even, you know, give me some contentions where they might have disagreed with my interpretation of the Addams Family and of our production. And I even think that I might be in a good place to recruit one of the future members of our future cohorts in 2019, because we had one audience member who was interested not only in the presentation, but in what I did and do as a dramaturg. So actually, that was one of the first questions I asked. And it was great to introduce the crowd to what dramaturgs actually are, considering the fact that we're very well known in Europe, like as a profession, but in the American theater scene, we're still basically struggling to gain prominence and recognition. And so, yeah, it was really great to introduce them to what I do, as well as to the material. This is the second production I've worked on as a dramaturg. The first production did have a pre-show, but it was not a pre-show discussion. It was a pre-show presentation wherein I was not present at all. And I actually cut together an introductory film for this production. It was for the Creeps production, and it combines both film aspects from, you know, the film and TV world with theater and theater production aspects. And as a part of the pre-show, I created a trailer essentially for the Creeps. And that was really fun. So a lot of really interesting, diverse things that are going into my dramaturgical portfolio that I find personally really satisfying and helpful and useful. So that was really great. Let's see. So moving from that to graduate school, I've basically sort of been on autopilot for the past week. This particular week, as well as last week, both were relatively light with regard to my workload. And that was really exciting. Because again, it was like the first time the entire semester really that I had time to kind of kick back and breathe a little bit. But as a result, I've kicked back a little bit too much, and it's a little bit hard to get back into gear. Because, you know, a part of it is that my brain, once it slows down and it starts to do other things that it likes to do, like work on my stuff, work on my novels, world building, which I'll talk about in just a second, it sometimes doesn't want to go back into the more professional graduate school mindset. So I'm struggling with that. But one major thing that has been challenging me in graduate school pretty much every single week has been the theater production that we are working on in my devising and contemporary trends class. And the production is actually coming together, at least a really sort of loose, shaky, dry run of it is coming together pretty well. It's just that both me and another colleague are challenged with regard to pulling together all the elements of the stage in order to build out and develop more dynamic moments. And so I'm trying to figure out which moments are the most impactful for me, and that's sort of speak directly to the message and the information that I want the audience to get, while also still coming from a place of being devised and coming from a place of moment work. So there's one piece that I'm working on that requires a little bit more development on the textual end. So I'm going to try to work on that today and then integrate and layer those moments in with what another classmate is doing. And again, I think that of all the classes I am taking, this class is exercising all of my weak muscles. So I'm really trying to pinpoint all of my areas of weakness, not only as a moment maker and as a deviser, but also as a director and dramaturg, and work on those weak moments. Try to figure out basically how to put all of these moments together in a really powerful sort of sequence and give them a powerful and very strong foundation. So, you know, the first 8 weeks, honestly, was me sort of trying to stay afloat, just not only in this class, but also in graduate school, and learning the new material, like learning how to make moment work, learning about the different elements of the stage and how to explore those elements, you know, reading literature and reading about different theatrical structures and whatnot. And now comes the time to start really exercising the things that I'm learning, putting them into practice while also intertwining them with my vision for what I believe our production should be. Not the entire production, but like my portion of the production. So, and I'm also in charge of this, you know, figuring out and researching the rights situation for our production. We're working basically on a production dealing with Roald Dahl, and not just his works, but his life, his biography, you know, his life events, his, you know, very interesting life as both a creative person slash writer and as a man slash soldier spy, which is fascinating. I mean, this production, if nothing else, is going to be very illuminating about Dahl and his work and looking at the darker sides while also still courting those lighter, you know, merrier, wonderful sides of him. So we're excited about that. And so my job is to, again, look into whether or not we have the right to do this by calling the estate. And I'll have more information for you guys on that next week. Okay, anyway. So, aside from graduate school and being on a mental and physical autopilot, I have been working on a lot of, it's just been very weird the way I've been working, actually. I've been doing plotting, world building, language creation, but for a myriad of different properties. And, you know, I've worked on the plot and series arc for the Books of Ezekiel series. You know, obviously been meditating on Hollow Point. I've been doing some more plotting and, you know, plot design for Rose and John Doe's, the first book in the Hitmen of Happily Ever After series. I completely changed the premise of that entire novel, but I think definitely the premise has been improved and a little sexier, which I like. I've also been dabbling in and working on developing the language that I've literally been writing for almost, what year is it? 2017. Almost 8 years, just like in bits and pieces. It didn't take 8 years to develop the majority of the language, actually, like the grammar, the syntax, the writing style, and not the writing style, but like the cursive for it and the script for it. But I developed, it's called Meshnai. It used to be called Unla. It might actually be called both. I'm not really sure yet. But right now it's called Meshnai. And when I first developed it for my, it was a completely different sci-fi fantasy world. I had taken literally like, I don't know, 6 months to a year to really dive in and develop a lot of the core tenets of the language. And since then, I've just been adding on to it. And so recently I've been working on developing a bigger vocabulary list for the language, thinking about conjunctions, prepositions. I completely got rid of adverbs, you know, just working with the 8 different parts of speech that we have in the English language and developing rules. You know, for example, I don't think that I really have much of a love for prepositions right now. So I'm going to try to develop a rule in the language that eliminates the need for a preposition, but allows one to communicate prepositional position through the language itself. I'm trying to also figure out what verb tenses look like, if there are verb tenses. As you guys know, I've studied 7 languages, well, 6 major ones that I really delved into pretty deeply, and then I started studying Russian this year. And studying languages literally, and also knowing English obviously as my native language, literally makes language creation so much easier, because I can pick out the traits and elements of different languages that I really, really enjoy. For example, when with Arabic, I modeled Meshnai off of the Arabic writing system. Not that you write from left to right in Meshnai. You don't write from right to left in Meshnai. You still write from left to right. You know, for those of us who sort of grew up in a more, quote, Western society, end quote. But the letters and the way that they're written is modeled completely off of Arabic. Now, the letters themselves are not Arabic at all. They're letters that I created by, like, doodling and using cursive or whatever, but the ways in which, for example, a letter in the first position, meaning that it is the first letter in a word, the letter in middle position, which means that it's in the middle or like in between the beginning and end of the word, and the way a letter appears at the end of a word, meaning that it's at the very end of the word, is modeled directly off of how Arabic is modeled, in that the letter pretty much, for the most part, looks different depending on what position in the word it takes. And that actually is true for English as well. If you can't get your head around Arabic, if you're writing English script, the G at the beginning of a word in English script looks very different from the G at the end of the word, right? So that's basically all I'm trying to say. Same thing with the G in the middle of the word. So just knowing all of these different ways in which language can operate that completely take me out of my westernized context has been so incredibly amazing. And it's just allowed me to, again, piece together the different kinds of different aspects that can come together in a completely new language, but that's also to a certain degree recognizable to many people in different parts of the world. So, and I'm not patting myself on the back at all, but I love the language that I made. It sounds very, very beautiful. And one major thing that I'm improving too is that I'm adding in a self, I don't know how to really call it, but I'm adding in a piece to the language that allows one to self-identify his or her gender, not by saying I'm a he, she, they, or them, but by the harshness or softness or diphthongs that they use in language. So, you know, if you're feeling in a more, quote, masculine mood, or you identify very in a very masculine way, the way in which you use the Meshnai language, especially the vowels, are going to be sort of shorter, harsher, I don't really know what they call it, but it's going to be harder than if you identify as like a very socially constructed female. You know, if you identify as very feminine, a lot of the ways in which you'll use your vowels and diphthongs would be softer. And if you identify as neither, there is a way to use vowels for that as well. And if you identify somewhere on the spectrum of male and female, maybe you're feeling, you know, a little bit more, quote, masculine today than feminine, and you're a little bit like, you know, in that case, maybe left of center, then you can choose to have a combination of harsh vowels, diphthongs, and softer vowels and diphthongs that will indicate where you are today with your masculinity, or where you are today with your femininity, or where you are with your refusal to identify as masculine or feminine. And this is not an attempt to deliberately gender language and to exclude anyone, but it's really actually an attempt that I'm making to include more people and to allow them a little bit more nuance and flexibility with their gender identity. And it's great because it's a system, at least I think it's great, it's a system that anybody can choose to participate in or not participate in. And the Mesha, the people who actually speak this language, they don't discriminate either way, because for them, they're only really 30%, 40% human, and they are 60% energy. So gender indication for them is like really a non-issue. But for those of them who take on a stronger human identity and they feel as though gender is a part of that, they have that way of speaking language that allows them access to self-identification. And so I hope that for, you know, again, I don't understand all the issues completely because I'm not a part of the transgender community. I identify very strongly as not just like a woman biologically, but like the ways in which we construct femininity in our society. I identify more with that end of the, quote, spectrum, if there is one. But I do believe that everybody needs to have a home and a place in our society, in our world, that does not divide them into a gender binary, and that allows them access to self-identification and to, as a friend was telling me the other day, just space for them to breathe. And so as my knowledge of the world and of society grows and evolves, the language that I am developing is growing along with that as well. I'm also working on sort of the Mesha's identification or non-identification with race. I'm not really sure what that looks like for this civilization quite yet. But what I do know is that this language is very much supposed to get to what is at the core of all of us as human beings, which is like the higher energy that connects us all. That's the whole point of the Mesha as a civilization. That's sort of like their mantra and their motto. So because language is a reflection and an outgrowth of one's culture and mores, I want the language of Mishnah to be a really great reflection of the very deep and evolving connection that the Mesha have with larger issues, energy, and like what's on the inside of all of us. So that actually, that part about language really went on a lot longer. I might actually add creating a language to the title of this podcast, actually. Yeah, I'll do that. But yeah, those are the things I've been working on. And just to sort of conclude this, I noticed that when I start working on a bunch of different things, it feels good in the moment and it's great, but it's usually an indication that I am losing my direction a little bit. And so what I'm going to do for the rest of this week, if I can, my brain is kind of crowded because there are a lot of things happening, is to really just sit down and get centered. I think that's going to be the entire goal for the remainder of this week. Get centered, get my goals realigned, and just keep chugging along to, you know, the finish line, not only of the semester in graduate school, but of this year as a whole. So guys, don't worry about the fact that I'm kind of meandering and again, faking the funk and, you know, not very focused, but, you know, I will get my focus and know that this is, at least for me, I can't speak for everybody, but I feel as though I sort of want to, because I'm not the only person who's dealt with this, but the losing one's way and not necessarily always be single-mindedly gunning towards a goal sometimes happens in your creative life. Sometimes you get tired. Sometimes you get frustrated. Sometimes you get bored or overwhelmed. And, you know, it's not really about how many breaks you take. It's about the fact that you keep moving forward. So I'm going to keep moving forward and keep making progress. Hollow Point is still very much on the agenda. I've sort of parsed down my goals so that I could focus more on Hollow Point and get that out before the year is over. But then when that is finally out, I also want to sit and really rethink my author career. Not whether or not I'm going to be an author, that's like non-negotiable, but my schedule while I'm in graduate school I think needs to be revamped, and just my publishing and production schedule also needs to be reconsidered. Realistically, it's very hard to focus on writing my work and developing my worlds and stuff when most of my mind and my space is dedicated to graduate school. And so this might also just be these past few semesters because graduate school has been so overwhelming. But maybe after the second year is over, when the grand majority of my classes are finished, I might be able to dedicate more mental space and bandwidth to my work as an author. But I'm starting to really realize that during the semester is not a good time to write. It's more of a good time to read, do research, build worlds, work on the language, work on developing the plot, writing the outline. Like, I think what I'm going to do from here on out is focus, after Hollow Point is published, is focused during the grad school semester, I'm going to focus more on just developing all the aspects of a novel series and a novel. And then during the summer and during the Christmas break, which is all throughout December, then focus on actually getting the word count up. And, you know, it's not a perfect plan. I don't like not trying to write every single day, but this particular month in writing has been total garbage. I'm not even going to front, because I've mostly been focused on graduate school. And during the time where I can actually sit down and think about my work and my stories, I feel a lot less pressure when I get to focus on building out the world, doing research, and actually developing the plot, especially with a multiple POV novel. You know, that building time and the construction time that I take for me personally is very restorative. It allows me to get out of graduate school and out of that mindset, but it doesn't immediately launch me into the pressure of producing a manuscript by a certain time. And I think that's sort of what I need to do as graduate school essentially wears on. And obviously, this is sort of a concern for me, being that, you know, when I start working full time or whatever the case is, if I don't immediately start working for myself, I'll be working somewhere else. I still need some way to produce work in a timely fashion. So I'm really trying to figure out how to balance my mental bandwidth, my health, you know, my self-care with a steady production schedule that gets books out there as soon as possible. Literally as of December 2014. See, you see how my mind is so crazy? Literally as of December 2017, this year, I will have been a published author for 4 years, which is great. But, you know, ideally, in my planning of my career, I would have been a lot farther along in the number of books that I would have had out. And so, yeah, again, you know, the end of the year is about finishing up a bunch of things, but it's also about really reflecting on the past year and figuring out how to change certain things so that I can best maximize the time that I do have and use effectively the mental and emotional bandwidth that I have, considering the constraints and the rigors of graduate school. So, having said all of that, don't worry. You know, I'm happy. I'm actually pretty content and relaxed. Things are going well. They're just going slowly. And I will report to you guys next week on what's been going on this week from Monday to Sunday. And hopefully we would have seen a little bit more progress. But until then, I hope you guys decide to stay. Oh, somebody's calling me. Sorry. See, this podcast is even all over the place, but I had to like check that. I hope that you guys decide to keep up the hustle in your lives. Keep it indie. Stay a badass. Keep working towards your goals and your dreams. And don't be so hard on yourself when you yourself need to take a break. Okay? All right, guys. Read on, write on, rock on. And I will see you guys next week. Bye.